We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
My reasoning for playing Salah is assessing what his ownership is going to be. And once Ouellette wasn't in, I'm like, it's through the roof. Let me just plug it in, and I'll beat people with everything else. And it's the everything else that I made a mistake.
This is the Fantasy Soccer Podcast from RotoWire.com, your premier source for fantasy sports. For player news, rankings, projections, and the best fantasy soccer stats around, please visit rotowire.com/soccer. And now, here are Andrew Laird and Jordan Cooper.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. I am Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined on this Monday by Jordan Cooper to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. A second ago, I said to you, Jordan, what are we talking about again? And you said, we're talking about our mistakes. What were your mistakes?
I think I made mistakes. I think you made mistakes. I saw your lineup. Eventually, I did see it because I know in the Slack, ouch, I was asking about who your goalkeeper was because I wanted to at least know that I didn't have him. But it turns out, I mean, even on Sunday, like, you pick a goalkeeper that doesn't give any goals, give up any goals, and you still don't get enough points compared to other ones that have given up three or four. But, I mean, I don't think that goalkeeper is never the mistake. I mean, that's a variance fest as it is. But, I mean, when I assess my lineups, I'm never looking for the brilliance of my own play. I'm looking at the mistakes that I made. Is it a mistake? Was it bad luck? Did I get bailed out? You know, those types of things. Yep. So that's why I think a lot of people may appreciate the Monday podcast that we do, because a lot of times we focus on the mistakes more so than look how great we are.
Yeah.
Right.
I wish I had more opportunities to talk about how great I was, but
okay,
my lineups say otherwise.
I do, at least sometimes, right?
Sure.
More often than not. And a lot of times it came down to like this past Saturday. I mean, it wasn't a cliff day in any sense of the word. I mean, I bubbled in a bunch of double ups, six out of 11, 12 out of 23, by some as little as under 2 points. So I look at those margins and go, where were the mistakes that's where that edge was? Did other people get extremely lucky, or did they made a different play, a play that I considered or would have considered, and they just scored more points than me? And
right.
I'm like, okay, you know, viable way. I mean, if you're rostering, you know, a backup forward that comes in the 89th minute and scores. I mean, like that obviously was a bailout. Like, mm-hmm. that's not an optimal, that's not a viable play, that's not a play. So, I mean, that's the extreme example. So going through my lineup, I played in the forward slots, I played Sigurdsson and Salah. In the midfield spots, I played Rawls, Brooks, and Madison.
Mm-hmm.
In the goalkeeper spot, Etheridge. In the defender spots, Kongolo and Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I scored 84.25. Some of the cash lines were like 86 or 87. Some weren't. Some of the cash lines were 82, and I was fine. But the construction to me for that, obviously the number one thing to consider, and we said on the preview, was to Salah or not to Salah.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to Salah.
Yep.
You could have gone right down the middle. You could have. I get it. You could also gone with Aubameyang. I kind of get it. I'll explain why I didn't agree with that, even though you did it, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
For a DFS reason, a gameplay reason, not a, like, Aubameyang getting 7.5 points is pretty good, mm-hmm. right? You're playing him for a goal. You're not really playing him for a floor. But I'll explain why I think that is a mistake, gameplay-wise. Okay. But my mistake was not considering, even though I said so, even though I should have listened to myself or whatever, I did not want to play Lucas Fabianski. Like, I did not want to play. To me, that looked like best case scenario is 0 points. Gives up two goals, gets two saves, something like that. If I could get a goalkeeper out of the Huddersfield Cardiff game with the low total,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather do that and use the 900 somewhere else than get a negative goalkeeper, like getting screwed by goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Now it doesn't mean that I'm going. That's like, oh, that means I was considering going all the way up to Allison, but I was not considering going all the way down at goalkeeper, which put me in the range, if I was going to play Salah, having to play two low 4K midfielders,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I was going to play Rawls, especially with Hualet out, right? The Hualet being out made it the forward spots, I don't want to call it easier, but, I mean, made it like, are you playing Salah or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of those types of decisions. So I don't think any other forward, like, you really put it. I mean, Aubameyang because of his goal-scoring odds, but, I mean, Mendes Lang even, you know, he got injured even. You could have went for the dinky do. You could have played a Wobi. You got.
I was going to say, some people played a Wobi. Yep.
Yeah, well, you got a 0.5 without the assist, and he came off early. So, I mean, like I don't view that. I thought that was not the best of plays because of how you built the rest of your lineup. But once you plug in Salah, and then it's like, well, I want to play Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have a cheap fullback that's available. Although, mm-hmm. typically, he doesn't do.
He's not really
that
a fullback,
right? At 3,400,
I would call his score, that's Terrence Kongolo's, as a bailout.
His score is a bailout, but the play isn't.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong. There's never anything wrong with playing, as long as they're not on the heaviest, most. I mean,
bright
fullback like Kongolo. Yes, he was popular enough, and he was.
Yeah, I had him too, but I think right. I consider that a bailout.
True, but I mean, but the construction wasn't wrong.
Agreed.
To me, the decision in my lineup was in that 7K-ish, that area.
Yep.
Where I'm looking and I see the options that I could take.
Yep.
that have floors, starting with 6,200 at Moy.
Yep.
6,900 at El Niassi.
Yep.
7,600 at Madison, and 8,500 at Frazier.
You don't,
that's what I see.
You didn't even consider 86 for Mkhitaryan.
Hey, I guess you could throw Mkhitaryan and you could throw Milner in as well.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if I'm playing Salah, I'm less inclined to play Milner.
Yep. I'd like to say that I put Trent Alexander-Arnold in that group with the midfielders.
Right. But obviously he fits into a defender slot.
Uh-huh.
And I was considering doing three defenders, mm-hmm. and having Trent Alexander-Arnold in the utility. Okay.
That's what I did.
That's awesome. But I was in the position of, like, going up and down a goalkeeper, obviously defender going, Kongolo is all the way down.
Yep.
And then having a David Brooks in there somewhere, possibly, mid 4K. And then normally, like, you looked at the Huddersfield setup, it's like Moy playing in the 10 at home against Cardiff. Seems like a good, what other matchup are you ever going to play Moy in?
Yeah, somebody said that in the Slack. In fact, somebody put exactly my thoughts about Aaron Moy in that Slack when they said, if you don't play Aaron Moy at home against Cardiff, when will you ever play him? And they followed that up by saying, by the way, he's not in my cash lineup.
Right, because you're just like, you'll never play him then.
Mm-hmm.
But I considered it, but then, like, I'm also playing Rawls.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 4,800, how do you not, I mean, he got 8.5 points or something. I mean, he was fine. But, I mean, without Ouellet, I mean, away to Huddersfield, like, when would you ever play Rawls at that low of a price for his situation without Ouellet in? Like,
I think there was a reason why you didn't have to play Rawls. And the reason is that there were, you name them. For how many, and it's eventually the reason why I didn't play Salah, is that there were so many midfielders with really good floors that I didn't want to take up a spot with Rawls.
Okay, which is but then you wouldn't be able to play Salah.
Exactly.
Right, okay. I'm going by the Salah construction.
Okay, yes.
Okay, yep. I'm only talking about if your forward spots are Salah and Sigurdsson.
Yep.
And now you have to fill out your lineup. So I looked at Moy, and the reasoning for that is, like, so I really want to have three players from that game in my cash lineup with Kongolo. I mean, I don't have to have Kongolo, but, I mean, I could go up from there.
And you had Etheridge.
Right, well, that's a goal. I'm predicting a low-scoring game, so I'm predicting a clean sheet out of the goalkeeper anyway. And then I go to the next, and I go El Niasi.
Mm-hmm.
El Yanasi. I always get the N and the Y mixed up. I look, and I go, well, Ward-Prowse isn't in. He should be over dead balls.
Mm-hmm.
He is an open play crosser. Southampton are technically favored at home. Why wouldn't I like him?
Yep.
Other than we have a sample size of, like, well, how much?
Half of a game.
Right. But that's the point.
Not
like,
even
I'm looking
at, yeah.
It's not like he was cheap. If I
You're
saw
right.
him, he was 5,500. Like, 6,900, I'm like, Like, do I trust this? And, like, he's coming back from an injury. Like, he may not play 90. Which, I mean, if I knew, if you told me, absolutely, he's going to be monopoly, set-piece monopoly, I'd probably take him at that price, 6,900 at home.
It was 66.
6,600. Yeah. Okay, even better. Right? I just got a discount.
In fairness, I think there was a better chance that he was going to have a monopoly than not.
Okay, but there's still a chance that maybe he has nothing.
I don't think there was with the team that they put out.
Okay. There's uncertainty of some regard.
I was not as uncertain.
You were not as uncertain. But you see, when I talk about my leak sometimes being too conservative. Like, this is the leak. This is the part of it. Sometimes it works out. I be conservative and people fall into traps. But it's the type of thing that's like, what do I know? Like, what is the sample size? Like, how much information am I going by? Am I taking this risk at this price? With all these other options that are in there, I look and I go, Moy is safer.
Yes, I agreed with that. My issue with El Yanasi is that he was starting, but Ward-Prowse and Armstrong were on the bench, and he was coming back from injury, and I was like, this guy could play 45. Like, they have guys to come in ready for him.
I thought you were certain, though.
I was certain that he was going to have the set pieces for as long as he was in. I was not certain for how long he was going to be.
Okay. So then you're leading back more to my side. Okay. I mean, he had one hell of a first half.
Yes.
You have to admit.
Yep.
But if you played him and you got the 14 whatever points out of him, I don't think that's a bailout.
I agree
you
with
took
that.
The, you
totally
took
agree with
the risk. It was a viable play. You took it. You may have been much more certain than I was, and you got the points and you got rewarded.
Yes.
And I congratulate you. It's perfectly viable play. But then I go up and I see Madison.
Yeah.
And I go, like, at 7,600, Southampton aren't good. Like, I know his role. I mean, I know it's only been two games in preseason, but it's like I know this person's role.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's this, to me, I view all these floors at about the same anyway.
Yep.
So I go, I think Madison is a much better position than having to play multiple players from the lowest total game with Moy. And then I actually am most certain about Ryan Frazier. Like, Madison, we have a small sample, but it's at least it's not just a half a game.
Right.
Frazier, we have a whole season.
Yeah.
No Stanislaus. I mean, like, we know what he is for Bournemouth. The problem is that he's 8,500.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that for 85. I'm getting safety, right? He got 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 900 more than Madison. I could have plugged him in. I could have gone from Etheridge at 4,500 down to Fabianski at 3,700. If I would have done that and not cared about the goalkeeper, who knows what's going to happen, I would have been perfectly. I would have had a profitable day.
Mm-hmm.
Actually pretty good, because Fabianski scored, what, 12? Something like that. He scored 5 more than Etheridge.
Mm-hmm.
And Frazier scored 6 more or so
than Madison. Yep.
So, I mean, 11 points on that score. I mean, 95. I'm sweeping.
Yep.
Right? Maybe not all the head-to-heads or anything, but, I mean, I'm all there.
Yep.
So playing too conservatively, a little. Madison was a play also. Madison, he got 6 points. It was a low game for him. Southampton had a lot of the ball. So if you play Madison, I mean, you got kind of unlucky also.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a bad play. If you play Frazier, that's fine. All these plays are fine. Milner got 8 points. Even that would have been 2 points better. It would have sent me over the bubble for a lot of double ups.
Yep.
But all of those were viable plays, right?
And I thought they were all viable before the slate, meaning like after lineups came out, and that's why I didn't play Salah. Because I thought to myself, if there are this many guys who have strong floors, then I don't need to play guys like Brooks and Rawls, and I feel like there was another one, but I can't think of who it was now. Whoever.
And also the fullbacks, the 4,500 level fullbacks.
Right. So like I didn't need a $4,500 guy because I had all the Salah money, because I had all of these other midfielders who had really good floors, and I paid, $2,500 less for a guy with the same goal odds as Salah.
Right, and then because you're not playing Salah, you just go all the way down to Ryan.
Yep, exactly. I put in less thought into my goalkeeper pick this week than any week in forever, and it was the highest scoring goalkeeper week I've had in forever.
Okay, what was your total score?
78.75.
So you got goalkeeper right and still lost.
The one that bothers me the most is, so I went, my lineup was Aubameyang and Sigurdsson, Madison, Mkhitaryan, Hatterjanaj, Kongolo, Alexander-Arnold, and Ryan. So all of these great midfielders that I like, and I only end up playing 2 of them, not 3. Because I played Alexander-Arnold in a utility. Ryan was always my goalkeeper. I wasn't paying up for Alisson. You guessed that in the Slack chat when I kept ignoring the questions of who my cash goalkeeper was. The Elyounoussi was the... I was basically going between...
Elyounoussi.
Elyounoussi. Elyounoussi?
Not Yonassi. Elyounoussi.
I'm not hearing the difference.
I just say Elyo. Elyo.
Elyo.
Some people put the N first.
El Neo?
Elio. El,
no,
Elio.
It's, isn't it E-L-Y-N?
No, E-L-Y-O-N. O-U-N.
Oh, Elyounoussi?
Right.
Whatever.
You have the stats feed. You have all the names.
No, I don't have. Maybe the I just have words. I just have letters.
Is there
no pronunciation guide? No.
Is there another guy that maybe he's getting the stats? The guy with the Y before the N and the N before the Y?
Maybe that was my problem.
Okay.
I wrestled the other guy. But anyway,
Elio.
I didn't. It was between him and Alexander-Arnold, and I eventually was like, the low playing time or the possible 45 minutes, or because I was playing Madison and I was like, Southampton is awful, so they're going to go down and then he's going to come off for Ward-Prowse or Armstrong, and I would rather Alexander-Arnold is going to start with 3 points for the clean sheet anyway, so I just thought that was it. But really I should have been debating not playing Madison, and I actually, the lineup that you had was exactly my cash lineup before the day started, like before lineups came out. Like I was going to play Salah, and the one that really got, like, as soon as I decided to play Aubameyang, the next one was, do I also play Mkhitaryan? And Arsenal burned me so many times, and yet I went back to the odds, and I'm like, there should be plenty of fantasy points there. And like Mkhitaryan's 8 was like okay, but it wasn't enough. Like of all of the midfielders I could have picked, like he and Madison were probably the two worst of the 6 that I could have picked. Like I went with Moy, Frazier, like I built with all of them. And then I was like, you know what? Arsenal are supposed to kill them. If you told me it was 3-1, I probably still play them. But the 15.5 from Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang just wasn't enough. I actually left after the 10 a.m. games. Like I watched those and I went out for the day. And so I actually didn't sweat the Liverpool game. And then afterwards, I saw that Salah scored and I was like, I must have gone off the cliff. And when I returned and realized I hadn't, because there were just a lot of combinations that you could have made that got you close enough to Salah, that I ended up, I mean, I lost, but I didn't lose nearly that much, which was like shocking to me because I thought Salah is going to be heavily owned. I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast previously. Like I don't play huge volume. I play more now than I did last year. And I basically picked it up at the World Cup, but I still play at a level where it's still more hobby than, like, I don't make a living playing DFS. I make a living making cheat sheets so other people can play DFS. But my thought was, if I'm playing for fun, then I would rather start building lineups that I think will outscore others and not worry about blocking.
Okay, because that's exactly what I was going to talk mm-hmm. about.
Because Salah was going to be...
What was Aubameyang's ownership in the $5 single entry double? I thought maybe you'd... It's 20, was 28%.
Yeah.
And Salah's ownership was
61.7. Yep.
Right.
Actually, which is better or worse, I can't decide. I was actually initially thinking of fading Sigurdsson before I was thinking of fading Salah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Sigurdsson
was 50+%. He was 54% or something.
We thought he would have been higher than Salah, and he wasn't. But it really, I mean...
Then don't play double ups. What are you talking about?
I might not.
Fading Gilfie at 7,100? Everton against
I basically thought about
playing
Salah.
All these other midfielders for this floor.
I thought about playing Salah, Aubameyang.
In cash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't, but I thought about it.
Right. You played Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan in cash, and on Thursday podcast... You also
I
said,
laughed at you.
Like, Arsenal is, who do you play in cash? In Arsenal.
Yeah. Well,
and I said, Mkhitaryan, and you're like, what? Everyone's floor is like 4, and like, there's not, you don't know, and then you end up playing 2 of them.
Yeah, I got caught up. Ozil wasn't in, and I was like, oh, they're actually, I think they might be better without Ozil. They scored 3 goals. I was right.
Welbeck and Lacazette had one.
Of
each.
Course.
No, but the reasoning behind what I consider to be a mistake, now, your explanation of you play as entertainment is fine. I mean, whatever. You can make whatever justification you want, but I'm assuming the listeners out there may actually be might try to make a buck over the long run. I believe, this is at least my belief, is that, and it's probably mathematical true, is that the upside you get from playing a half less owned at 30 to 60 comparison, goal-dependent forward, you're both playing them based on the goal scoring odds. Of course, Salah ended up taking some corners and some stuff. He got some peripherals.
Mm-hmm.
More so. I mean, and he does, but Salah shoots a lot more now than he used to make up for the peripherals that the crosses that he used to get.
Yeah. I mean, we had a 2-game sample of that, but.
Right.
Sure.
Of course. I know that.
Yeah.
But if you tell me beforehand that Salah, those ownership levels, then here are the situations. If you just go by their goal-dependent forwards, they have no floors. It's goals or nothing. I mean, their shot floors are about the equal, whatever. If you close enough, that if they don't score a goal, they may have 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say they have 5, like I'm not going to argue over 2 points. But essentially, They don't make value for even 8,811-3 without scoring a goal in your mind, like beforehand. So if Aubameyang scores and Salah doesn't, and I'm just assuming you get value out of the rest of your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So just all the floor guys, none of them score a goal. I mean, they just get you're not unhappy. Madison gets 8 instead of 6, right? You know, everyone gets kind of like, you know, 1.2x or, you know, like whatever. You're not upset. Like Rawls got 8. Like if he would have gotten 6, that would have been fine. Like in my line.
Mm-hmm.
So consider all the rest of your lineup making value in some aspect. And Aubameyang scores and Salah doesn't. Like, you sweep. You're all good, right? Mm-hmm. The leverage of that ownership difference, like, it'll even make up for, like, a snowflake goalkeeper.
Yep.
Right? If Ryan got, like, -4, you still would have been fine because Salah's 5 versus Aubameyang's 18.
Yep.
Made up for it. If Aubameyang scores and Salah scores, now it's the rest of your lineup that matters, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
right? And if everyone makes value, I mean, then now the margins are thin, right? If Salah scores and Aubameyang doesn't, you're pretty much dead unless you get some outlier result from other players in your lineup that completely, you know, crush value.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the upside to me for cash is that by putting Aubameyang in your lineup, like, you're basically betting your entire lineup on him scoring. Because if they're equal, like, you don't gain anything. You only gain when he scores and the other guy doesn't. Salah, if Salah's a dud and Aubameyang scores, I'm still fine because only 30% of the people have him. So I can make up his goal, and even if I don't make up his goal, I still have 20% of the people left that I could still cash 4th out of 11, 5th out of 11. I don't have that option if Aubameyang doesn't and Salah does and I have Aubameyang. Because now I'm 7th out of 11. I have to make up points even to just get to the 5th place out of 11, or, you know, 10 out of 23 or whatever double up it's in. So I like the potential down, like, that's a GPP stride. Like, right, you're taking the leverage point of if he scores and he doesn't, you win. But you're betting your whole cash lineup on it if everyone else makes value. You have to think that by playing Aubameyang, people are going to that people will need to exceed value in the rest of your lineup more so by whatever margin, even if Salah does score. Because you could have both goals. You know, Salah could score and Aubameyang could score, and you could still come in 6 out of 11. Because one of your other spots, it doesn't have to be goalkeeper, it could have been a defender that got a red card in the 23rd minute. Right? Kongolo could have a -2. Right? It could be anything.
Well,
so I just say the downsides of playing him when you know that the other one is going to be high-owned and an upside. I mean, Salah could score 2 and Aubameyang could score 0. Now you're dead. The other way around doesn't help you in double-ups. If Aubameyang had a hat-trick and Salah got 0 points, it's a double-up. You don't get rewarded. You finish first in your double-up. Way to go. And it makes up for a -6 goalkeeper as well as a -6 defender as well. I mean, you're so far ahead of everyone, but you're only doubling your money. It's a 50-50. It's a head-to-head. Like, you're only getting that. So why not go with playing Salah, just blocking there, not having to worry about it, because even if Aubameyang scores, it doesn't matter, and then building your lineup from that point.
I'm going to respond to all of that after this quick message from Starting 11. Hey there, fantasy players. We've got some news for you. Starting 11 is back for the Premier League season, and it's time to get in on the action. In Starting 11, you can challenge managers from across the world for cash in head-to-heads, 50-50s, and winner-take-all Premier League contests. Download now on iOS and Android at www.starting11.io. That's starting11.io. Make sure to look out for their new mini-league contests, which are launching soon. Remember, on Starting 11, you build an 11-player roster with no salary cap restrictions. Best of all, instead of seeing injuries, substitutions, or poor performance ruin your chance at cashing in, Starting 11 lets you make up to 3 substitutions to your fantasy squad during live play, just like a real manager. So if one of your players is bottling it, you can get him off the pitch, and if a player you don't have is terrorizing the defense, you can get him in your lineup. So head over to www.starting11.io now to get into the game. All right. One of the key differences, which I think really only applies to me, but it's my podcast, so we can talk about it. I only make one lineup anyway, so the payoff in the double up, obviously, I'm just doubling my money, but I have that same lineup in a GPP. So I appreciate that people make GPP-only lineups like you do. You have multiple ones. Like, I don't play that way. I have one lineup. So the leverage, I appreciate, doesn't apply as much in the double up than it does in a GPP. That's fine.
Which then you could just say is a GPP line. I mean, it's perfectly fine to just, like, we're always discussing on Thursday, typically, from a cash perspective.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, your lineup for, like, I'm going to put this in a GPP and also throw it into the double up. Like, it's really a GPP lineup that, like yeah, I guess it could possibly, over the long run, you're probably going to be negative ROI in the $5 double up, but not so much so that throwing it in doesn't hurt. Because, yeah. Right, because you're just playing a $5 single entry. But we can't compare our lineups then.
Well,
like I can't compare, you can't, we can't compete. You know, your lineup could have scored 110 points, and it's possible my lineup couldn't because I played too much floor and not enough ceiling.
Well,
if you want to put it that way.
The topic of floor, like I just redistributed my floor. Like you mentioned that if Aubameyang, so there are basically 3 situations. Aubameyang scores and Salah doesn't. Salah scores and Aubameyang doesn't, or neither of them score. Two of those three.
Or one can score 2. I mean, there's also 2 and 1.
Sure,
and
3,
and nothing.
But
I mean,
in the most realistic sense, they each score 1 and you're okay. That's what you're playing them for.
Right, and you're in better position with Aubameyang because they actually cost less.
Exactly.
So you get to move that money to other places.
So
but you have to get the points
argument
from.
That if everybody else on your lineup hits value, then there are basically 2 of 3 situations that can happen where it actually works in my favor, because if they both don't score, then I have $2,500 more to raise my floors everywhere else.
If you, in fact, raise your floors.
Right, and I thought I did.
Which
I would
like
argue
I'm
that
a DJ personally.
What's that?
That sounds like something a DJ would say.
What do you mean?
To raise the floor.
What'd I say? Oh, sorry.
Raise the roof. Raise the floor.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Is right. Anyway,
I get what you're saying, but the difference. See, I'm looking at it from a perspective. I get what you're saying in a vacuum. Like, take away the ownership percent. You know, that point in cash.
Mm-hmm.
The $2,500 that you're spreading around, like, I get that you can start paying a little bit more for people and play, you know, and instead of playing Moy, you're playing Madison. But, like, what is the difference of the floors of those players in a vacuum? Like, the difference between Madison, Milner, Frazier, Elliott, like, all those guys that we were talking about, like, if you told me all of them scored 7, well, obviously Moy is the better value at 6,200. But if you told me everyone scored between 7 and 9, like if Frazier scored 7, that's bad for his value. If Moy scored 9, that's good for his value. But like that range of that quote floor, like you can't pinpoint. You just know it's something like that.
Oh sure, but I'm right? Looking at it as I have. Let's say the Madison group of guys has a floor 3 points higher than the Rawls-Brooks group. Is that reasonable?
Possibly, yes.
And I have 3 of those guys now because I don't have Salah. So
that's
a 12-point floor difference.
Not necessarily. That's a 12-point at the high end, but it could be 6 at the low end.
Sure.
And you know... Which is fine. I'm not saying that's a mistake. That's you know, you're not thinking of it logically, but just always look around the fact that like hitting the low end of that, like the $2,500 really didn't get you much. It got you more. Yes, it got you. It did get you more. but did it get you enough to make up for the times that Salah scores and Aubameyang doesn't? Mm-hmm. And I just, if he's going to be twice as owned, 60%, if he's going to be over the line in which you could cash, like that, when we talk about ownership, I'm talking primarily about that. Like even at Sigurdsson at 55, I mean, that's every cash spot, right? You have to be in the 55th percentile in order to cash in a double up. So like once people start hitting that level of ownership, and especially if they have upside, like I'm like, well, I'm just going to block here and be more skillful by beating everyone in the better construction elsewhere. If you told me that you took Aubameyang so you could go from Ryan to Allison and go, I'm going to bank on the 10 points here, plus maybe or something, I could understand that more and go, I'm going to make up the goal in the goalkeeper spot if need be. I still think you play a 60% owned Salah. But if you told me that and you go, here's my backup plan, and it's in a single point of, instead of taking the cheapest goalkeeper, I'm going to lock in a goal's worth of points with my goalkeeper. So now if Aubameyang scores and Salah scores also, it's like, well, now other people have to beat my goalkeeper. And if Salah scores and Aubameyang doesn't, and your goalkeeper puts up 12 points, well, you made that up that other people may not have made up at goalkeeper. So you have a backup plan in your pocket. But spreading it around to go playing Hatterjanage instead of, you know, like going around like that, and like instead of playing Rawls, like Rawls got 8 points, but I mean Madison got 6 points. So anyone that played Rawls, which was popular in a Salah lineup, look, yes, all the money that you spread around went to nothing, because for 4,800, you got $2,800 more. You got Madison, they got 2 points less. I'm not saying that has anything to do with the Madison pick.
Results driven on their analysis.
No, well, no, but if you played Elianasi instead of Madison, which would have saved you, right?
Yep.
Obviously, I would have said the same thing. I'd have literally said the same thing. It's like in that, like, because that 14 points is at the top of his kind of range in peripherals, and been like, and I wouldn't have said you got bailed out. I would just said strategically, I think it would have been better to just play Salah. You could have, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. Even if Aubameyang scored and Salah didn't, I would be explaining it the same way. Not saying that you got bailed out. It was a viable build. I'm not a big fan of pairing Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan together in the same cash lineup and banking so much on Arsenal. But hey, I get that they were big favorites also. I get it. Just like I could have played Milner and Alexander-Arnold and Salah and not said, well, I don't need Milner, I'll play Madison instead. They're all viable. We're at least arguing viable positions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is optimal? There could only be one optimal, right? So, or the most optimal. So in no way am I saying that your lineup was like, oh my God, what the hell did you do here? I'm just saying that from a strategic perspective, like, I don't think that was the best way to go out of 30 different viable ways to go.
Right. I get it.
Okay. I knew you got it.
Yeah.
I had to assess my reasoning for playing Salah is assessing what his ownership was going to be. And once Wallet wasn't in, I'm like, it's through the roof. Let me just plug it in, and I'll beat people with everything else. And it's the everything else that I made the mistake. Right? But I mean, it's the fact that it's like, I'm not taking Fabianski. Like, I'm gonna take a Huddersfield, Cardiff. I'm gonna go down to Congolo. Right? I could have played, instead of Brooks, I could have played Bertrand. Right? He scored.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I could have played a Southampton player. It's not like I was playing. I mean, I could have played instead of Brooks. I could have played Bertrand, Madison in the midfield spot, and that's fine. That was viable, also. Right, if you're not going to play Elianasi, and you still want Southampton exposure, okay, Bertrand fits in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Still
could
take Etheridge, right?
Did you have an alternative to Brooks?
Rawls, Brooks, and I mean, I'm playing both.
I
played both. No, the alternative to right, the alternative to Brooks was a defender. There was no other midfield player in the 4Ks that I wanted to play.
Yep,
that I thought was viable.
There were a lot of fullbacks that I could. I mean, there were a lot of 4,300, 40. Could have played Charlie Daniels for all I know, right? But it's like, if I'm going to play Charlie Daniels, why aren't I playing David Brooks?
Yeah.
Who's in front of him, right? At 4,700. I mean, 4.5 points, 4.25. I can't complain at 4,700 for that. I got what I'm there. There's, it's not like I got 1 point. He got what he got. Allowed me to fit everything in. Got 7 points out of Etheridge with the clean sheet and a save.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, I can't complain about it. And Madison, even 6 points, I really can't complain about. It's undervalued, but not, like, substantially undervalued.
Right.
But I was thinking that Madison and Frazier and Elianot, like, they were all put around the same points-ish. I didn't think it would be 6 to 14 or 6 to 12. I thought it would be somewhere, you know, Madison puts up 8.5 and Frazier puts up 10.25.
Mm-hmm.
And Elianasi puts up 9.75. Like, and you could still lose in a double up and by bubbling by a point. And you look there and you go, well, where is the mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think the mistake was choosing Madison over the others. My mistake in my mind was, why am I caring so much about goalkeeper when it's a variance fest anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And just screw it. I'll just take Fabianski. I'd hope for the best.
What would you have done with that money?
Arsenal. What?
What would you have done with that money?
Madison to Frazier.
Oh, Madison to Frazier. Okay.
Right, because Frazier's the most, out of all those, he's the most certain. He's right. The most money, but he's the most certain. I know his role on Bournemouth in that lineup. They're at home. Everton's a better team, but not enough of a better team. That's like, why not?
Yep.
8,500. Give me 8 to 10 points.
He wasn't.
All I needed was 8 to 10 points. No, he wasn't that pop. No. I mean, Elianasi wasn't high owned. I mean,
no.
All those guys, there were enough viable constructions that all those guys, like Madison was, what, 28? They were all in, like, the 20s in cash.
Yeah.
28, 32. That people went different ways. Kongolo was only, like
10 and change,
15, right, in the single entry.
Yeah.
He was much higher owned in, like, 11-mans and 23-mans.
Yeah, I bet.
Trent Alexander was owned.
Yep.
Allison was owned.
He was.
Which is fine. But not like high. The highest owned players were Sigurdsson and Salah.
Yep.
That was the chalk construction. So it's like, let me.
And Rawls.
David Brooks. Yeah, and Rawls.
Salah made Rawls necessary, more necessary right. than normal.
Right. I think Rawls was like 38% owned.
43.8 in big single entry.
Okay, but something like that.
Yeah, that's a lot for a 459-person contest, which is nice to see that fill early, by the way.
Right. But, I mean, it seemed obvious without Hualet in. He's the cheapest set-piece monopoly taker on a team that wasn't really much of an underdog.
Mm. Yeah, 5 whole crosses out of him for the set pieces.
Okay, but there's other things that they could do, Andrew.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Right.
But those have nothing to do with set pieces.
Of course not. But the 5 points, on the five, the whatever, 4 points that you get for that, okay, in addition to his interceptions or tackles or a shot or
mm-hmm.
something,
mm-hmm.
for 4,800, that's fine. Tell me Rawls was 7,300, I don't even think about it.
All right.
Like, get out of here. And then Sunday was a mess.
JBG.
He was 100% owned,
yeah.
So, I mean, what do I care? Right? He was 90% owned in some contests. And I'm like, how does that work out? What forwards are you playing? Because it's like you plug in JBG and it's like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And then Hazard plays, he was only supposed to play like 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I can't play a guy that's going to play 60 minutes for that price. I'll play Pedro instead.
Yeah, because why would you ever play Mitrovic
at
home against Burnley?
Anything with an IC at the end, right? I don't play Arnautovic in cash, right? I don't play Mitrovic in cash. I didn't play him.
You're going to play Mitrovic in cash sooner than you think.
No, it'll get 4 points when I play him. I know what's going to happen.
Just let me know when that happens.
Right. I get it. I don't think it was a bad play. He shoots enough. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
He's Solomon Rondon. And you could have played Solomon Rondon.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm not going to play in Newcastle's.
Not against Chelsea, no.
Against Chelsea. I was like, what else? And then I didn't trust Schürrle.
11 shots.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Let's see if that happens again.
Mitrovic will do it.
Right. JBG gets injured
mm-hmm.
at 1,000,000% ownership.
Yep.
And then I get the Ben Mee to Tarkowski goal
was fun.
Right. Oh yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think the most tilting thing on Sunday was if you told me beforehand, okay, Andrew, here are the score lines for this slate. Chelsea 2, Newcastle 1.
Mm-hmm.
Fulham 4, Burnley 2. Who's the highest priced goalkeeper? Who's the most high scoring goalkeeper?
Kepa.
That's what, or you, well, no, he gave up a goal, so probably not.
Yeah, but he didn't give up four, too. Oh, because he didn't make this. Yeah, you'd, I guess,
Dubravka?
Yeah, I guess.
Keeper, maybe?
Maybe Bettinelli.
But you'd look at that and go, you know, there's no outlier or anything.
Right.
Like, the keepers didn't matter. Nope. Joe Hart.
8 saves. 4 goals allowed.
Right. The guy that gives up all the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then Bettinelli puts up nearly a negative score.
Right, with a win.
With the win.
Yeah. I believe he had a negative score on Yahoo, if I remember correctly.
Right. Like, I'm looking at, like, well, I'm not playing Mitrovic, right? So, obviously, who's the goalkeeper against Mitrovic?
Mm-hmm.
Hart. I'm like, I can't play Hart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just assuming Fulham score from other places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing Kearney. I'm playing Schürrle, right? I'm doing other things. Play McDonald before I play Joe Hart as my goalkeeper on a 2-game slate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? When the there's only 4, so, like, any outlier is going to be a big... He gets -6, Kepa gets 10, and you're dead,
yep.
And you're done, right?
Ugh.
It wasn't the injury, the JBJ, and then the Hazard penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty.
Right. He had a pretty good game, floor game, though.
I know. I was fine with that. I just thought he would only play 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Pedro had enough points, right?
Did he? What did he finish with? I don't even know.
Something. 7, 8, something.
I'm sure it was something.
But it's not 3.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's see. Oh, it was 7, yeah.
Right.
That's
and Mitrovic wasn't high enough owned in cash that it mattered that his brace happened. I mean, it killed all my GPP lineups.
So I was going to say, I see he's 49% here in the corner kick.
Yeah, but the GPP doesn't matter. I'm looking at, like, 11-man double-ups.
Yep.
He was, like, 2 out of 11 or something. It's like, okay. I still have 3 spots I could make. But then Hazard is 3 out of 11, and then I'm looking, I'm looking at 6th place going, I know it's nice to be up in 6th, but it's the same thing down here in 9th, right? It's one of those days where you just you look through your double-ups after that Hazard penalty and go, like, if anything happens in my favor, like, I just go from 9th to 6th, right? Like, I'll let's go, and then Kearney comes off, so I don't even, like, I'm rooting for goalkeeper goals.
Yeah.
Right? And that was high-owned, so I don't know who... Right?
Yeah, you were just dead.
I was just dead, right. Sarri didn't matter. I didn't go Locante. No, I needed him. He put up points. He was good. In this new role at Chelsea?
Yeah, it's a goal in 50% of his games going into the last weekend.
I'm not going by the goal. I'm going by the peripherals. But once he gets to 5K,
game over.
Right.
Did you play Fred today? Fred set piece monopoly for Manchester United was the most obvious thing of the day.
Well, Alexis took some.
Oh, did he? Oh, well, he didn't start.
When he came in.
When he came in.
Shaw
yeah.
took 2, a free kick in a corner. But then it was Fred, the guy that we played for 5K and in showdown.
Yeah.
And
he had -3 points.
Right. And would get 5 points. I mean, like, and you go, how do you play Fred again?
Yeah.
Right. And then you go and you look at that lineup. You go, well, it's going to be obviously like Lingard or Shaw.
Easily.
Or so, yeah, like maybe they share or something. Nope. Fred. Good old Fred. That's the uncertainty. That's to bring it back to Elio. That's what I'm talking about. Like, is there enough of a sample? So, like, you take a look at that Man United lineup. Hey, all last year it was like that.
Yeah.
Is Young, Mata, Lingard, Rashford, Herrera even.
Yeah, Martial.
Pogba sometimes.
Yep. We won't learn, though. We'll still try to get them.
Of course, but I'm saying you have to factor that into the price.
Right.
If you're looking at a guy's price and the monopoly, or at least the majority, is factored in and you're not sure... There you go.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I did when I saw El Yanassi.
Mm-hmm.
I look at 6,600 and I go, like, a majority is factored in. Maybe not a monopoly. Maybe it should be 7,200.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't, I mean, he becomes Nathan Redmond. I mean, not that bad, but I mean,
not that bad. Yeah.
Right. Not even forward eligible. But maybe he's a $5,700 player, not a $6,600 player.
Right.
But I don't know. You have to see what's factored in.
Yeah.
So that certainty wasn't there.
Ugh. All right. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at Blenderhead. That's Blender HD. You can find me at RotoWire Andrew. We're also available in a RotoWire Slack chat, which is open for all subscribers. Just hit me up or the at RotoWire Soccer Twitter account. We will be back on Thursday to preview next weekend's slate, which I saw there was confirmation from Birnbach that they are not removing the late game yet. So we'll talk about that on Thursday. Jordan, I'll talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.